We're coming into March here pretty quick. You know, of course, next weekend, our big Spring Chinook Seminar and Outdoor Emporium. Really fired up about the Columbia, though, and what's going to happen down there in March and April. And our next guest here, none other than Trey Karskinen, joins us now. And Trey, when we talked earlier this week, you mentioned that, yeah, you're fired up, but you're not too worried about this fishery in March, are you?
No, I'm not. I mean, I don't spend a ton of time on the Columbia, Tom. It's, you know, I'll get out there a few days. My home is right on the Willamette, and that's such a great run, and it'll go well into June. But there'll be some good fishing, and you know, with the early fish that are being caught, these pilot fish, we're hearing about more and more of them. So it looks like springer season is game on.
So you mentioned the Willamette. Is that a little bit of a later fishery that you're saying that starts, what, like April, May kind of a program there for you guys?
Well, you know, they call him the Sultan of Selwood. John Shlomenko last week got the first springer at Selwood, and John's one of the Willamette stalwarts. And there's been other fish hooked. I talked to Guy Dwayne Pretty up in the Clackamas area. He had a group out last week during the Sportsman Show, and they got some steelhead, but he also broke off a Chinook at the boat, and so did Forrest Foxworthy as well. So it's, you know, there's some fish in the river, and it's early, and it's early to see, you know, this many reports coming in. But for me, I don't get started in earnest until, you know, early April. I'll have some, you know, a few trips. But I really get going mid-April and then fish well into June. I just don't want to get burnt out. You know, I have a bunch of trips under my belt and say, mm-hmm. you know, by mid-May when the run is really peaking, you know, I've had enough. So
I totally understand that. Now, about, 20-25% of the run goes up to Willamette, and those are a large percentage of those fish headed up to Willamette are larger spring Chinook. Is that correct? I mean, they're like 18 to 25, maybe 30-plus pounds?
Yeah, every so often you'll see, one of those big brutes. And you also see them late in the season. It's interesting. I talked to Terry Mulkey about that June fishery down in the harbor, that lure Willamette down by the mouth. And he thinks that those are actually Columbia fish that come in up Monoma Channel, mill around, you know, right at the head of Multnomah Channel, very close to Willamette, and then move back out to Columbia and go back up. And those are generally pretty big fish. They go upwards of 30 pounds. And for years, I kind of thought that those were Clackamas fish. They're a little later returning springer. And he said, you know, not really. Those are really smaller fish. So there's really two later runs that we fish on in June. So, average springers in the Willamette, 15, 18, 20, and the occasional 30 you'll see. But it's a tiny height fishery with all, you know, they're forecasting somewhere in the order of about 70,000 fish this year.
Okay.
That's a good, strong run.
Oh, yeah, and it's horned down quite a bit from what you see on the Columbia River. Now, what kind of boat does a guy need to participate in that fishery down there? I mean, we know Wildcraft's got the new 18-foot angler out there. Is that a boat that would work for that fishery?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a boat out in the Columbia that really demands a more substantial boat, and the new 18-footer's got a taller sidewall than most. It's 34-inch sides, which really makes that very, very seaworthy, and particularly with the taller transom on it, you can put an extra long outboard on the back, and you're good to go. So, that boat will work very well. The beauty of the Willamette is that it's an everyman's fishery. There's some bank access. That's fairly limited, but you can fish it from a 12-footer up to the yacht. And I think that's one of the things that makes that fishery so special. Even when the wind comes up, it's never rough. It gets maybe a little difficult to fish in a high wind, but it's never really ugly like it gets out in the Columbia. Or certainly what you guys are enjoying with 30 to 40 mile an hour winds.
Well, man, we just got a text from John Kaiser. I'm not going to say what the text says, but basically we're turning around and coming home, but with some other words mixed in.
we're talking to Trey Karskinen this morning. Trey has worked as a TV show host, a radio show host. He's been published. He's been a guide. And currently you're a lobbyist for the NSIA. And Trey, when you start talking about the Willamette, and I've you know, the only time I fished with Willamette was with Eric Lindy during his Sturgeon Derby, obviously for Sturgeon. But we see some different techniques on the Willamette than we do in the main stem Columbia. I mean, the drill on the lower Columbia is obviously you're trolling herring on the flood, and then you're going to drop the pick on the ebb tide and get those when those fish are heading down to the ground. We're looking at the I-5 fishery where we troll downhill or we anchor up. You can do either one. Tell us a little bit about the different techniques that you might employ on the Willamette.
Well, you know, the biggest difference between the two is with Columbia, particularly when you're fishing bait, you're fishing right on the deck. You're fishing a short lead line, you know, 16, 18 inches long, coming up a reel, crank off the bottom, and that bait's pretty tight to the bottom. We do a lot of suspended fishing in the Willamette where we'll go out, you know, 17 poles or 30 feet of line on the line counter and troll, you know, herring. And longer lead lines, you know, 5 foot leaders. I think that's the biggest difference. The other thing is with the Willamette, you really have to be versatile. You know, you go through, you know, bait in the early part of the season. Actually, bait will fish, you know, pretty good, both herring and prawns, and I take both. Because you want to fish, you know, to what the fish are biting. Some days they want prawns, some days they want herring. And with the difference that I use, both on the Columbia and the Willamette, is the way I brine up my herring. You know, I'm using non-iodized rock salt, and then I finish it with some garlic scent. I use that Procure Slammin' Salmon garlic scent that I just spray a bunch in the brine and then have my herring soak in that. And they really stay with that bait well. If they're on herring, otherwise I'm fishing, you know, cured prawns. And
that garlic drill, season, that garlic thing. Sorry, Trey, that was a big deal last year down there having that garlic.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I just started doing it a couple of years ago. I started in our fall fishery below Bonneville, putting on the sardine wraps and then used it in, you know, buoy 10 for our brine, and I just noticed how well the fish stay with it. I mean, I had.
Yeah.
We were doing a TV show last year with the Joy of Fishing, and we were out in front of Waverly, which is above the Selwood Bridge, and trolling along, and I get bit. I look at it, I'm like, well, geez, the rod just went down. And it goes down again. And I'm probably going for 50 or 60 feet, and we're in, you know, 70 feet of water, 17 poles, 6 ounces of lead, and this fish isn't dropping it. And then it just folds over. It's like perfect. You know,
yes.
my other brines, you know, they pick it up and bite it, but then drop it, you know. And I was using anise in there before and some other stuff, and they just didn't stay with the bait as well as they seem to with this garlic.
I saw that show. It was the Joy of Fishing. It was you and Jerry Spies out of a Weldcraft boat, and it struck me how well that boat was set up for this particular fishery. And I got to kind of poke around one of those at the Seattle Boat Show, of course, in Larry Carpenter's booth, old Master Marine down there at the Seattle Boat Show. But tell us about some of the innovations that you're going to see in these new Weldcrafts, particularly that 18 Angler, Trey.
Well, the 18 is off to a hot start. That's the new hot ticket this year, and they really hit the nail on the head. They for the first time, wanted to build a kind of entry-level boat that was a no-frills utility boat, and worked really for the last year in the development of this boat. And it's called the 18-foot Angler, and it is an absolute home run. It's been very popular at the show so far. Lots of them have been sold. They've really ramped up production on it. But really differentiates this boat from everything else in the category is number one, the price. Here you can own a full, you know, a rig well craft for, you know, a payment that's going to probably get you right in about the $200 a month range, which for well craft is, you know, really in the cheap seats. And then it's got a higher sidewall. And so this makes it really an outstanding, open water, big water boat that'll still, you know, work very well in the smaller fisheries, either the High Lakes, you know, the Willamette, the bays for crabbing, but also is more than enough boat to feel safe in the Columbia and some of the bigger water fisheries.
He's Trey Karskinen, wears a number of hats. He's been a TV host, writer, radio show host, The Works. Trey, we thank you so much for joining us, and don't be surprised to see Robbo and I following you around that Weldcraft down there on the Willamette real soon.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy. We'll be doing it again, man.
Very good.
Thanks,
Trey. Take care.